Tonight, we're thrilled to once again go dream weaving with Jill Urchak. Then it's time for a weekend wind-up with Rob Martier. And finally, our friends from Knife and Tine bring the drinks as we play What's in the Box. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Jill Urchak, let's just get right to it. We're not going to let the music play. We could dance a little bit, but Jill Urchak's back in the
studio.
Yay! Yes, this is exciting. Yeah. We have on your when you posted on Facebook, they were upset that you couldn't make it. They wanted you to be safe on that night.
I was stewing about it all night, Patty. I was like, I'm a wimp.
Here's the thing: as a traffic reporter, you know, someone who has worked previously in traffic, you are acutely aware of the things that can go wrong.
Yeah,
you had reported on so many accidents, spinouts, and also on this very show that evening. See, like, what if you had come? What if you'd both gotten into accidents?
Right.
It would have been like a...
That would have been awful. By the way, we have one more song for Jill.
I love this song. Believe it or not, I have it on my iTunes. That's sad. Welcome back. Now let's talk about Mr. Cartier.
Back with the Sweat Hogs,
I love it. I liked that show.
So did I.
Mr. Cartier.
It's still on, you know.
Yeah.
Leave it to me to find these things. I'm home all day.
Is it on like You and Me, or is it not You and Me, the WCIU?
It's no. It's even a further one than me, like a MeTV. Mm-hmm. I was flipping through if it was a MeTV 2 or something weird, and I got all excited. But DJ was upset, and I had to put Baby TV on. But nevertheless, they do play it.
That's a great show.
It really is.
Remember when it was like later seasons, and they started having like they brought in different sweat hogs, right? Because I'm guessing John Travolta had to leave. There was the guy who did the voice for Roger Rabbit became one of the sweat hogs.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I know. I remember the stupidest.
It didn't
things.
Last long, did it?
I don't think it lasted.
Whenever
too
they
much
go
longer.
That way, like Facts of Life, when they went to college, kind of went downhill.
I was just having this conversation tonight with Dr. Charles Turk. Apparently, there's some article that has been floating around. I don't know for how long. Mm-hmm. But the five most appalling episodes in sitcom history.
Okay.
And he was going through them, and I'm like, I don't remember any of that.
Oh.
But it was when sitcoms like went seriously. But you mentioned Facts of Life.
Yes.
Do you remember when Natalie was sexually assaulted on her way home? It was.
They just played that last week.
Did they really?
I admit that I watch it because I still enjoy them. In the beginning, DJ likes, and then he tunes out, and we're playing
the music and things.
He likes the opening theme. But that was a big thing back then because they didn't really talk about it. And there was also one where Natalie, she was a writer, wanted to write something about, you know, abortion. And that at that time was probably like.
But sitcoms don't deal with those things. Really, I don't watch enough sitcoms, but I don't think they're all. It's all about sex and relationships.
Yeah,
and
I don't think they go down that road now. But they, yeah. So,
and sitcoms in the '70s did like Maude, you know, and All in the Family.
Yeah, when Edith got attacked.
Yes,
and she threw the cake in the dude's face.
Mm-hmm.
That was a creepy one.
Jill's very well versed in the sitcom.
I'm very well versed in a sad.
Do you remember an episode? Charles was telling me that there was an episode where on Different Strokes,
okay,
where Arnold and is it Arnold and Dudley,
mm-hmm.
his friend
Dudley,
are victims of a child molester,
of a pervert.
Yes, it doesn't.
The guy takes him in. He's taking pictures of him, I think.
Yes, and giving them booze.
Yeah, and Mr. Drummond comes in. He's all fierce. I'm Mr. Drummond. You know, I live.
What a creepy thing to put on a sitcom.
It was a creepy episode, but Mr. Drummond was very firm, but I thought he would have any father in their right mind
would have gone in with a baseball bat.
He didn't have a baseball bat, but he was like, you will not, you know.
But was the point of having a sitcom episode about that, do you think, like to have parents be able to have a conversation with their kids?
I think these were things that were coming out or that no one talked about. But it makes me laugh, like Fresh Prince. All the sitcoms have one serious episode in there,
we always say that a very special blossom.
Yeah.
But the sitcoms are doing it so much more before that.
They don't do it now because everything it's been there, done that, and they're not going to repeat it again.
No, I guess. But an episode where there's Charles was telling me there was an episode where a boy gets abducted by a family who had lost a child, and they wanted to replace him with this kid. And I'm like, who wrote this? Dick Wolf?
On which.
On Different Strokes. Like they had, remember Arnold had like a little redheaded friend?
Yes, the redheaded one with the bull haircut.
Yeah, apparently he gets abducted by a family who had lost a child and they wanted to replace him with that kid.
I don't remember that one. I'm kind of sad.
Mentally
I was keeping up with you.
I don't even, maybe that's why I don't watch sitcoms now is because where's the serious episode?
They're so funny.
What sitcoms do you watch now?
Current ones?
Mm-hmm.
Big Bang.
Okay, that's
is a huge one.
Yeah.
I don't find a lot of them funny. I have to be honest. Like those two broke girls, it was on by accident. And I'm like, okay, they're making it look like a Laverne and Shirley by the beginning.
Oh, good
like it's
point.
From the 70s. Mm-hmm. Just the way. I couldn't take it more than 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I tried to try that that new one, My New Family.
Okay, I haven't seen that either.
I can't remember the girl's name. She marries and she's an instant stepmom.
Okay.
Bad.
Okay.
Because the writing is so forced in a lot of these and it's not funny. That's
right.
Why I still go back to my King of Queens or like Frasier because I felt those were just so funny.
See,
and
that's,
natural.
And that's what I aspire to. I'm aspiring to King of Queens. I'm aspiring to like, when I say I'm aspiring to them because I'm writing our series.
Right.
Everybody Loves Raymond type writing.
That's wonderful show. Yeah, that's a good one. But new ones, Big Bang, I don't really see a lot of funny new ones.
Did you like Roseanne?
Loved it.
Okay. That's what I'm going for as well.
Loved her sitcom, especially when the kids were younger. It got a little weird when they won the lottery.
Super
Excuse
weird.
Me, you're not moving out of your house. You're just getting a new couch and painting your wall.
And didn't
are you kidding me?
Because you'd still live there. Well, Warren Buffett still lives like in his bungalow in Iowa.
Look,
or whatever.
I can respect that because I'm not about money. But
what was that? What was that, Rob?
Omaha,
Nebraska. Sorry, I knew it was somewhere in the Midwest.
I hope he got color television.
Maybe he doesn't watch TV. That's how he's got his billions. Well, yeah, I 312-981-7200. What sitcoms do you watch? Because we've been talking about a lot of television. We rarely really talk about sitcoms. But I think that they were better before.
I think they were.
Yeah.
I was talking about that with my husband. Just movies. 80s movies. Because Breakfast Club was on.
Yeah. That's a remote dropper, as Nick D calls them.
Yes. There is a certain aura to the 1980s movies that I just don't hear anymore.
Right.
I don't
the
see
tone.
Anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. They were fun. I think they were just fun.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. You know, St. Elmo's Fire, even the serious ones were fun.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Poor Andrew. Was it Andrew McCarthy? Was that his name?
He was in all of those.
It's so funny because he's not like your typical handsome guy.
No.
He's got kind of small eyes and he's a little pasty.
But he's sexy.
He's cute. I
My sister wanted him something bad.
I liked John Cryer. Like, you know, from Pretty in Pink.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, there was a movie he had where he was like some sort of accountant or something, and he went into hiding. He went back to high school. He had to like, sort of blend in.
Oh.
Oh, my God. We're just, remember that guy with the thing? And, do you remember the name of that? Craig's like, I don't even know how to IMDb that
Well, there
movie.
You go, Ducky.
I love Ducky.
Yeah. And Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men, yeah.
He looks the same.
Okay, before we go for a break, I have to tell you, I'll tease. I ran into somebody in our green room right here, and I was very good about not spazzing out. I met a celebrity in the lobby.
Okay.
And I was very, I played it cool. But he told me he was on 11 episodes of Two and a Half Men. So we'll talk about that when we come back on 720 WGN. Jill Erchuk's in the house. So exciting. She's riding Sidecar for as long as she'll let us keep her. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, that means that Jill Erchuk is here. And we've been talking about sitcoms from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you and I are fond of our childhoods.
Oh, my God. Yes. I feel like I go back instantly. Just this song, Dreamweaver.
Yeah, me too.
Takes
Although,
me back.
I also think Wayne's World, too. It makes me think of Wayne's World.
Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It is in that movie.
You know, they say that nostalgia means so much to us because we remember a time period in our lives that we really liked, not the stuff that we like. It's not the movie wasn't as good as we think it is.
Shut up.
It was the time.
I'm
no, yeah, you're right, Craig. That makes sense.
Don't they? Yeah, I think that's
because we're
starting
Fever.
To remember who we were and what we liked about that time.
That time in your life.
Yeah.
True.
Fine. I loved the movie Dirty Dancing when that came out.
Did you watch it again years later and think
I have not? Well, that's another movie. There's an abortion.
That was a rough one.
There's some stuff going on. I mean, not that we shouldn't deal with those topics, but you think about a teeny bopper movie. You think about like a Patrick Swayze. You know, don't put baby in the corner. It's just,
and that musical is just even more just crazy.
Do they have the abortion in that?
Yeah, they
too?
Do. It's in the musical.
Ooh,
it's strange. It's dancing and singing and an abortion.
Matt, did your show have any of those very special episodes? What's your favorite sitcom, Matt?
Well, I don't. It's first off, I just want to say, Patty, I did get to interview you briefly when I was a freelance journalist. You and Steve Cochran, some 7-8 years ago,
during
your Walpole show. So lovely to hear you on the radio. And I know for certain that I will be listening to or watching one particular sitcom from a Patty podcast.
Thank you.
But the one that I always keep going back to that I could watch over and over without ever getting tired of, and I don't even know if this really qualifies as a sitcom per se, is Community, because it completely sort of, I think, goes against the entire sitcom form, mm-hmm. and it almost mocks it in a way. And I consider myself a bit of a nerd anyways, and it just, so all the pop culture references and the movie references and the TV references are great, and not to mention the fact that, you know, you're talking about Big Bang Theory, and I watched a little bit of it,
mm-hmm.
but I got to a point where Big Bang just, like, it just becomes that stereotypical, like, the character Sheldon Cooper is not a believable nerd. Whereas on the flip side, you look at, like, at the character of Abed, like, you know, and Danny Putty is just great. I think he's actually from Chicago, too, but he plays, it's a very similar character to Sheldon, but it's more believable. It's something where he's a completely socially awkward individual, but because he's part of this commune, each season, in fact, each episode, there's something new that he learns and is different and is able to socialize with these different people.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Matt, Jill has a question.
Hi, Matt. Yeah. When I first started watching Big Bang, I told my husband, I said, this is just too made up. I mean, it seems too obvious that they're acting. He said, give it a little while. It was Howard that actually I found funny in this particular episode that got me hooked. But I know what you're saying. It took me a while to get into it because of Sheldon. Now I appreciate him, but you're looking more for the believability factor, which I completely understand.
Well, yeah, it's just sort of a, it just becomes just a typical sort of, you know, it's not an updated, you know, and it's sort of like mainstream something that for a while was just always mocked and made fun of.
Sure.
And it's funny too, that I mentioned the difference between, or the sort of like difference and similarities between Abed and, Sheldon. But
mm-hmm.
the character when Sheldon was actually in, like, those, like, they were trying to get him out of, like, one of the ball pits, and he's sort of hopped up on sugar or something or whatever, and he's bouncing all over doing his Bazinga thing. There was an episode of Community, I think it was from the one that was on when they did it on Yahoo Screen, where there was a giant pile of Frisbees for some reason, and Abed was hiding underneath, and he pops up, and he screams Bazinga, which I thought was just a complete, and I sort of affirmed my theory on it all. But the real reason why I stopped watching Big Bang too was, like, halfway through the fifth season, what's his name, Raj, goes on a date with a deaf woman, and it kind of became sort of a, oh, now that, like, nerds are cool, they can then make fun of other people, and it kind of just became mean.
Interesting. Well, it's interesting. Thank you so much, Matt. And it's good to hear from you again. I do remember the interview, and look forward to hearing from you again. Before I let you go, I want to let you know that that's the thing. The biggest note we get from ABC in the writing of my series is make sure it's grounded in reality.
Yeah.
And so that's,
you have to relate.
That goes to what I think Matt's talking about. Have a good night, Matt. We'll talk to you again soon. More after this on 720 WGN. It's time for Dream Weaving with Jill Urchak. She's live in the Allstate Showcase Studio riding Sidecar for as long as we can keep her. You're welcome for the whole show. Can we keep you the whole show?
You possibly could.
Oh, I like that. Now we're talking. Yeah.
I needed to get out.
Yeah, just tell Dan or who. Is someone watching DJ tonight?
Oh, yeah. Well, Dan's home.
Yeah. So Patty wouldn't let me go.
They're both sleeping
now. We bolted the door. There you go. They don't even know.
He doesn't care.
Well, this is what becomes the hard part, isn't it? You're like, well, if I stay up, then I still have to get up, right? But it's one day.
Oh, you mean tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, I know that Dan went to bed.
Right.
So
he can get up.
Sleep in. Yeah.
Oh, see?
That's a beautiful feeling.
It is. What, you slept. I became after Declan was born, and there were some struggles after Declan was born, but after he was born, like, I just, all bets were off for me. I did, like, if I heard Declan or Griffin start to get up, mm-hmm. I would just not even move.
Act like you don't hear it.
Yeah, I didn't hear it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, and when Steve would get up, I'd be like, I mean, just this wave of relief.
Yeah.
And, like, I never felt guilty about it, because you know why? I had two babies.
I
made people.
I am taking notes. Thank you, both of you.
You're very welcome.
Yep, when I have the children.
And here was the thing. But when Steve would say, can you get him? I knew that he was maxed out and I would get up and do it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, so if he said, hey, can you get up and get him? I would. you know, so, but otherwise I would just wait. That sounds terrible.
We were talking about, and I won't talk about it, but there was an I Love Lucy episode about that where they both pretend they don't hear little Ricky.
Oh, really?
So this goes back to Jesus's time, by the way.
I think so.
Let's pretend we're sleeping.
You know, I believe, can you check for me? I saw a post on Instagram of Desi and Lucy. I think that the anniversary of Desi Arnaz's death, it was not too long ago, and they had a picture of their wedding day.
Okay.
You know, cutting their cake or something. And there was a post from, like a quote from Lucy, you know, their daughter Lucy,
right,
who said that that Lucille Ball had actually called like in the hours before he passed away, within the day,
okay,
to say that, you know, I still love you, and like apparently they tried to still be friends even after their divorce. So just that you mentioned
that's
Lucy and Desi, because that's another show that I know it's such an older show, but
love
that, for me, that's like because I get myself into so much trouble in real life.
Yeah.
The idea for the sitcom that we're creating is a little bit of like Lucille Ball. If she was like on a social mission, you know, like
sure,
if she felt like she had to correct people and get and sort of interject herself right into situations she doesn't belong, that would be kind of who
she does interject herself in situations she doesn't belong.
That's what I do. That's what I do. I correct people all the time. 312-981-7200. You know, you've been having dreams that are a little bit weird, and you've been wondering what they mean. Jill will talk you through them, and so I'll start with mine.
Okay,
Craig, do you have any dreams too?
I'm trying to remember, but I feel like I have shades of one. I don't know if that'll be enough.
I had one on Monday. I didn't even need to write it down because it's the most intense dream that I've had in a long time. Because I've told you every time we do this segment, I always tell you I don't remember them. Because of course we dream every night. It's whether or not we remember them.
Right.
And part of it, I think you and I have talked about how it's really your brain kind of processing whether it's something that happened that day or maybe an old experience that you're still trying to work out. Did I ever tell you that after I saw Titanic, when the movie came out, this was a period of my life where I had very vivid dreams.
Okay.
And for weeks, I was trying to solve the problem of how to save more people on the boat.
Interesting.
Like, I had all these different things that I kept trying to do. And I don't know what the other things were. The night that I had the last dream, you remember she has the axe?
Right.
I'm running through the hallways, just chopping doors off of rooms.
Okay.
And giving them to people so they could all float on a piece of wood.
Oh.
And then I fell asleep after that. I was okay. I mean, I started sleeping without worrying about that problem. Yeah. It was bothering me that, it well bothered me that Leo couldn't, they could, he, all he had to do is just balance.
I know.
Or even take turns or something. Like, I don't know.
Jack, there's a boat.
It bothered me. So the dream I had on Monday, there were a lot of vivid things that were happening. It felt like there was a lot of, like, I was being chased, and I end up in a high-rise hotel on a balcony, and someone's coming after me, and I have to jump off the balcony into a pool of water, right? And I make it. I'm fine, but like it feels like it's not like the water is right below me. It looks like it's farther away. Like I have to like leap for it
to get it.
Yeah, right, and even the falling. Like usually, if you ever had dreams where you're falling, that usually wakes you up.
Yeah, you wake up startled.
I didn't wake up, and I don't even remember like coming out of the water or anything. All I know is like I was in this it kind of jumped around a little bit, and the next thing I know, I'm sort of in this small town. And the way I understand is that we've decided to start taking our kids to this smaller town outside of Chicago. Like we're traveling a distance to take Griffin and Declan to different schools. And I think it's partly because we've been told there's this really good program for children with special needs. And there's a good program for Griffin where he's going to be able to sort of expand his horizons and stuff.
You've been told that in real life?
No, that's just in this dream.
Oh, this is in the dream?
Yeah.
We've
decided to go, like we're not living there. We're actually like sort of like commuting an extraordinary distance to go there. So I don't know why I start out diving off a balcony and then I'm in this small town all of a sudden commuting my kids to a school. But I go to the school where Declan is, and there's like a lot. There's three different rooms. There's one with like younger kids with special needs, and there's a raised room for like almost the middle kids, kind of like the third to maybe fifth, sixth graders, and then the bigger kids up through eighth grade. And in a back room, there's only like three or four in there. But in Declan's room, there's like a couple of stairs up, and I'm watching him. You know, like I do sometimes if I go visit his class or like a play group with him. And Declan doesn't play with other kids, right?
So
and I'm like just watching him, hoping he'd play with the other kids and stuff. And you know, but just you know, this. it's Declan, and he's doing his thing, and he's off in the bike behind a table, and he comes around, and this kid sees him, and he grabs him, and he like takes him, and he throws him down the stairs that are, and I was like, there's nobody like guard, like sort of like in charge of the classroom. And I and just and I'm and that's when I woke up like with my heart just right because like Declan's neck was turned and it was
and you couldn't do anything.
I couldn't
do
anything. Yeah, like I'm going over and like I'm well, I'm screaming and you know trying to figure out like why they haven't someone's not monitoring these kids.
Yeah,
yeah. So I woke up with like that's wow. I woke up with my heart racing. See, everybody else has like dragons in their dreams and you know they're like dinosaurs and stuff, and I'm like my kid gets shoved down some stairs.
Well. I think these were a couple of different dreams maybe rolled up into one.
Right.
You know, you have those like,
yeah,
what is wrong with my brain?
Right.
Being chased is how it started. Do you remember who you were being chased by?
I don't. I felt like it was like just like you're sort of like out of casting gangsters. You know what I mean? Like just guys in suits with guns kind of a thing. You know?
Well, usually I think when you're being chased, you're usually in some sort of panic, like not that you're panicked in real life, but you got a lot going on.
Right.
I mean, good things.
Right, right.
But okay, the high rise is good. You're up high. Always being high in a dream is always good. Now, granted, you did jump, but
right.
you jumped in water.
Right.
Water is emotional. Water is emotions.
Okay.
So I'm assuming you landed safely. You said
right.
you don't remember that. Right. So it sounds to me like you're high up and then you maybe sometimes come down a little, take a dive, but you're landing in emotions. It's good.
Okay.
I think it's the rise of everything that's going on with you. I think that is actually not a bad thing.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense to you.
No, it kind of does. It, like, especially because for me, water is so important, you know, like growing up as a swimmer and stuff like
that. And water is the essence of life.
Right.
So
oh,
in
go.
Dreams, water is like life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a water sign. I'm a Pisces. That's a whole different thing. And I think that water is movement. You
right.
move through water.
Right.
So that's a good dream simply because you started high. You jumped. Maybe you – I think you always maybe – scared about something or nervous about something, but you always come down to reality and you come back into your emotions and you even out.
Okay.
That's what I'm going with that.
That makes sense.
The commuting to the school.
It's almost like grounded in reality more, isn't it? A little bit the kid stuff.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's just your everyday life, but I think that's how you're just getting through life with Declan, which has to be, you know, not the normal motherhood with the struggles that you have. Three rooms. That's interesting. You remember specifically three rooms. Three usually in dreams is the Trinity. So I'm not really sure what that has to do with anything. But Declan's room, was he in that small room?
Yeah, he was in
the first room.
No, he's in the second room. The one that's kind of like elevated.
The one that's elevated. Of course, he's elevated because he's your son and he's great and he's wonderful. So I'm thinking he was elevated. And just your fears as a mother, I'm sure, of somebody pushing him down and you
right.
couldn't help. And that's why you woke up. I think that's just reality
feeling
of your
helpless.
Everyday life.
Right.
So I think those two dreams merged and I think they're separate.
Okay. Right. They just felt like they were in the same night because I didn't wake up after the because usually I wake up when I'm falling off of something or dive, you know.
Sure.
Have you ever done that? Like you like jerk away.
All the time.
Such a scary feeling.
All the time.
What is falling supposed to be? I mean, I know you said it was in this one, it's kind of, you know, having to come away from the anxiety.
There's a couple of different theories on it. Some people think it's you actually coming out, like when you're falling asleep, like your spirit actually coming out and then coming back
in.
It
feels that way.
Yeah, you get into that twilight zone.
Yeah.
That's one theory, that your soul's like literally just going on its journey while you go to night land, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that click you feel or that startle that you feel is it coming back. But other people think it's just your brain not ready to shut down yet. And
ooh.
So your brain makes you do something to make you wake up because you're not fully relaxed.
You're not ready yet.
Yeah.
Have you ever taught anybody who does astral projection? I've always wondered about that. It's just
I knew a guy who was actually a radio guy. He had since passed, but he said he did it all the time. He was able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I told you I had an out-of-body experience once, and it scared the heck out of me. And I never want to have that again.
Because you couldn't feel like you could control where you were
because
going?
Because I knew it was happening, and it was so vivid. It's more vivid than I'm sitting here now.
Ugh.
I'm like, how am I aware of this but sleeping at the same time, but I was awake. It was very bizarre. It freaked me out, and I stopped it in mid
right.
I stopped it.
You just like said, this is not happening.
This I won't let it happen because it freaked me out. But some people do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it, but I think that takes training and a lot of mental concentration.
You have to really
well. Or just a bunch of tequila.
Or a bunch of tequila. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if tequila would help.
But Patty,
that's more spinning. That's not the same thing.
Right, it's not. Yeah,
that's
spinning, different.
Yeah. It might help.
You have to go to break. I had a dream about you.
Okay.
And I only remember you flying around like
off
you
of a
were
balcony.
Flying around and you weren't dressed in a lot of clothes. You were in a dress, though.
I was wearing a dress, a very flimsy dress.
it more on the top than the bottom. I'm like, that's Patty.
Get some clothes on, girl.
Why you were flying around and you were going up to people and like flying up to them and like entertaining them.
Like Tinkerbell was I?
Yes! Tinkerbell. And I remember thinking, that's so cool.
Oh, there you go.
I don't remember the rest.
That's because a full audience is too much. I mean, I think it'd be better if I could just coast from person to person.
I don't remember the rest.
I like that. I like that I'm flying through your dreams.
You were flying through my dreams.
312-981-7200. Share your dreams with Jill. We'll take a break and come back and... Oh. Yeah, that's my phone apparently telling me it's time to take a break. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and Jill Erchek is dream weaving live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We also have Knife and Tine bringing us tasty treats and some mulled wine. Is it mulled wine, Nikki Allen?
Yes.
It's spectacular. We're already happier in here, aren't we?
It just hits so the spot good. When it goes down.
Is that one of the beverages for your drink, like the Dickens event
ma'am.
Coming up on December 13th? You can go to Facebook, the Knife and Tine Facebook page, and register. There's going to be five different, it's like a walkabout, right? Inside the restaurant, we have different locations, sort of setups for your cocktails. Different, I know you're having, what kind of pie? Mince meat pie.
Well, all of the items we're doing plays on, because nobody wants a straight mincemeat pie.
We don't know what it is. Well, so just you could call it mincemeat and we'd be like, oh, that's what mincemeat pie is.
So from talking to Adam, we looked at a lot of the different recipes.
Adam
the,
Selzer
yeah.
of MysteriousChicago.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And who we met on your show.
Yes.
And this is how this beautiful marriage came to be. But the food's not very good back in the day.
Nor
were
the
drinks.
Oh, no.
So we decided to do our take on it.
Yeah, interpretations.
Yes. So instead of a straight mincemeat pie, it is a mincemeat pie empanada.
Oh,
that's brilliant. Ooh,
that sounds lovely.
Yes.
And I think you guys are really smart to not go with things that taste terrible, by the way.
Thank
that's
you,
probably
Craig.
A good call.
Thank you.
Well, I believe that extraordinary is the way I would describe the food at your restaurant. So I think that anything you create would have to fit that bill.
Mm.
They were just on an episode of Check Please last week.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
And they did very well.
Wait till I tell my husband he watches all those shows. He'll be very
excited. Oh, yeah. It was really good.
Yes. By the way, 312-981-7200. We're coming up against the news, but we'll still take your calls and dreams after that. Because sometimes I think people are listening because they want to hear what our dreams are. And then they're like, all right, I'll share mine. Because it's very personal to share your dreams. And I want everyone to know this is a very safe space. Jill is very kind and generous with her discussion
about
your dreams.
Oh, believe me, I'm not judging anybody here.
No.
I'll be the last one.
None of us will judge. But we have... So we have some mulled wine. We have some tasty food. I'm enjoying the Cuban sandwich that Paul has made for me tonight. Well, for all of us. We're going to share that. But you can go to 1417 West Fullerton Avenue for your own Knife and Tine experience. And it's really great food. It's my favorite place. And you brought some... you know what? I'm going to go eat while we take a break and I'll tell you more about the food when we come back. We are hanging out with Jill Erchek live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. You know, I don't know if we ever asked Rob Martyr about his dreams. Do we ever ask? Not your aspirations.
I don't know. I mean, we only have, another couple of hours in your show.
I don't know.
Time.
How many dreams do you have?
Knowing Rob? Many.
Vivid.
I had a weird one the other night.
Mm-hmm. We're listening. Jill's listening.
You know, we need to get to the news.
Don't worry, Rob. You can tell me after.
It's a safe place. We told you it was
I'll
a safe
be here.
Place, Rob. Is he like, it's a newsman? I really prefer
no,
to it.
No, it was about a person that I had gone to high school with.
Ooh.
And this particular person contacted me.
In your dream?
In my dream.
Okay.
Yeah, in my dream. No, not in reality.
Right.
And we ended up getting together.
Hanging out for coffee?
Yeah.
Let's.
You guys played a board game?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then.
Played a little Twister? Or...
Yep.
All right. Had you had that? Oh.
I've got dreams to remember. I've got dreams to remember.
This is beautiful. What is this?
It's Otis Redding.
I saw you there last night.
Thank you.
another man's arms holding you tight.
Ooh. Yeah, he's a little bit sad. The song gets a little sad.
I don't care. Yeah. I'm loving it.
No, Otis Redding is awesome, and this song is great.
Are we allowed to let it just play a little bit underneath? Or?
Probably not. No, I don't think so.
I don't think after 30 seconds or something.
Yeah. Right, something like that.
I mean, cut it out at 29 and a half.
You know, kind of changing it.
I'm putting it on my phone right now.
It's called I've Got Dreams to Remember.
All right. Aww. Do you have dreams to remember? 312-981-7200. Jill is talking about your dreams and helping you figure them out a little bit.
And they're very quiet tonight. I'm very disappointed.
They're listening. 312-981-7200. Sometimes when the conversation is too interesting, they don't want to interrupt us.
Very good, Patty.
We know it's true.
No, I understand.
We've come across this before. Welcome to the studio as well, Nikki Allen, bartender extraordinaire from Knife and Tyne, and the proprietor of Knife and Tyne, Carissa Schaefer, good friends of the show and one of my favorite restaurants, if not my favorite restaurant. Mm. It's my place. It's like I go in and I just hang out there. I've never had a place. I had a place for a little bit. With the server when I came in, I'd ask for my server. I always sat in the same table, which was a Hat Dance, which was actually kind of a let us entertain you restaurant, which you wouldn't think like in a franchise, but it was such a great place. It was my favorite.
They know me at Pepe's on the south side
Pepe's.
By me. Yeah.
I like that.
But
what's your plate? What's your what plate?
It used to be the Mayan combination, but now I get chili con queso with extra cheese, flour shells, and chips. It's so filling because
so
the cheese
good.
Is just in clumps.
Do they have
melts.
Chorizo mix into the queso?
No, but this is they don't make. I've never seen it made any other place like this. Mm-hmm. And by the time you're done stuffing all that calcium in your body, there's no room for a taco.
Sure.
I get it to go.
Oh, I love queso. I love that.
Yeah,
that's spectacular.
I love my.
Every time I sit down in Knife and Tyne, I have to have some of their spoon bread. And they got some new dishes because I have a new chef. Paul's made some really great additions to the menu. Mm-hmm. What's your new favorite thing on the menu? Oh, she's like, I have so many things. Well, the Cuban sandwich, which we whipped up the other day, literally in the kitchen at Knife and Tyne. We were doing a Macelle video, which will be available on WGNradio.com shortly. Macelle is my new favorite product. And they're not paying me anything yet. so I've actually been cooking with it a lot. I use it during Thanksgiving. I'm trying to figure out how to use it in different recipes because Macelle, they have one of the canisters. You can actually use it as seasoning, like on your French fries.
I don't even know what that is. I feel silly.
It's a bouillon and stock.
Oh, okay.
They're a company out of Australia, but all of their products are vegan and gluten-free.
Okay.
So they have chicken style, they have beef style. So if you're making that kind of a dish, you can use that as an addition. But if you are also a vegetarian, but you want the flavorings, you know, maybe with your tempeh or your soy, it does a great job with it. So we made that Cuban sandwich with a lot of meat and a bean soup with like a bacon base and so good. So it's a great, I'm having some of the Cuban sandwich tonight. Did you have a bite of the
No, I just was diving into that fried chicken and I'm a fan.
It's got some Dijonese. Oh, yeah.
The crunch.
Nice stuff. Karen wants to talk about her dreams with Jill.
Thank you, Karen. I was starting to feel a little lonely here.
No, don't. Why would you feel lonely? Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oakland.
Oh, excellent.
Great place to live, Karen.
I actually have two.
Okay.
One was more recurring, and one was a very, very old dream that I remember from forever ago. So... I don't know if you wanted one or both or
it's up to Patty. I mean,
I would say let's go with I would do both. Let's go with you want to go with the recurring dream, second. Do your most recent dream first.
Okay. Outside my house, I would hear a helicopter and it would be, you know, whirling around and then it would crash.
Very dramatic.
But I wasn't in it. Nobody I knew was in it. But it was very
scary.
Yes.
Yeah, because it feels like you're really witnessing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, that's actually falling from the sky. Did anything else happen?
No. No.
Go ahead, Karen.
It's just very clear. Like as it's happening, it's very clear. But then... I wake up and there's absolutely nothing going on.
And there's nothing going on. So that's the recurring one?
Yes.
Okay. Again, if I ever inject myself into this conversation, it's because I've had similar dreams, and I have, with planes. I see them just coming out of the sky. And it's terrifying. So I feel your pain on that. Usually when something is just crashing down like that, it really is very synonymous with certain things going on with your life. It's the fear of something. Maybe the fear of something going wrong or just coming down, and it's maybe always weighing on you, whether you're not aware of it or not. Like maybe something in the back of your mind that you don't consciously think of, always maybe in the way back of your mind, you may be thinking or wondering, is such and such going to happen?
Just like a fear, concern, and
a
like
fear of something, probably, because when something's coming out of the sky and crashing like that, you feel helpless and it's terrifying. Well, if you take those two feelings in real life, I mean, who doesn't feel that? We all do. And sometimes you're not even aware. It could be something as simple as, like, I don't know, let's say maybe your child is failing in school. I'm just picking here. And you're so afraid of that. It could be something as simple as that, that you're not even aware of. So think of the things in your life that you are afraid of, and try to see if, you know, maybe you feel like more often than not, without realizing it, that something, you're waiting for that crash. You're waiting for something to happen.
Uh-huh. Hopefully it's an irrational concern. So,
oh, they usually are. It's just our fears and anxieties. Nothing happens from them. It's just the fear of, God, what if that goes wrong? Or what if that happens? And we all feel that. Does that make sense?
We do, definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And the ancient one, this is like literally like 3 decades ago. Mm-hmm. I can see a car with, like, oh my goodness, this is going to sound spooky, but like a skeleton head in the back of it.
Mm-hmm. That's the epitome of
spooky. Like, I don't remember, like, I can forget so many things, but then there's this one dream in particular from forever ago that is just so clear and so vivid and just kind of spooky.
Is the car moving?
Yes, it's driving down like an old neighborhood alley.
An old neighborhood that you lived in?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're getting somewhere. And I assume the skeleton head is the one operating the vehicle?
No, it's just sitting in the back window of the vehicle.
Interesting. Do you remember the color of the car?
Just dark. Like everything was dark.
Okay.
But the skeleton was almost like the focus was on that. It was almost lit up.
You know what? Cars are movement. Cars propel you forward. Cars take you places. Okay, that makes sense. The skeleton, you said this was an old neighborhood, so clearly a skeleton, people say they have skeletons of their past. So I'm thinking the car represents something in your past. It doesn't have to be in your old neighborhood, but it may be something in your past that was frightening to you. You had this about 30 years ago, you said?
Yeah, I mean, like when I was a teenager.
Yeah, when you were a teenager, of course. Any teenager.
But when I was a teenager, but I can still to this day remember it very, very clearly.
Oh, yeah. Even I mean, who wouldn't remember a lit up skeleton head? But what I'm saying is, you know, skeletons in your past, skeleton in your closet, that's saying, along with a car, and you said it was in your old neighborhood, this is clearly like some sort of something that was going on. Well, you were living in that neighborhood at the time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Well, then I'm guessing, because if this was your old neighborhood, I don't know if you were a teenager, what was going on with you then? But was there something you were hiding from your parents, Miss Karen?
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I'm kidding. I mean, I'm kidding.
Hiding, not in that sense of how they say hiding now, would be like coming out or something.
Yeah, but it could have been something simple, you know, like maybe you were guilt-ridden about cheating on a test. I don't know. Don't worry, I cheated my way through math. Anyway, the point is, I think that's why I'm in radio, or was in radio when I was employed. But that's why I think that it was your old neighborhood at that time, though. Skeleton in your closet. Maybe you were afraid of, you know, getting caught on something or something like that with something, especially in a teenager.
And plus you kind of blow things up when you're, you know,
very
intense.
Yeah. And it was a dark car. So whatever this was, you weren't very proud of at the time, and it could have been something very simple. So I wouldn't.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never ever thought of it that way, but I like that.
Okay.
Thank
cool.
you.
And again, great neighborhood that you live in, Karen.
That's right. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay.
We are hanging out with Jill Urchick, and she is dream weaving. Joining us in the studio now is also Rob Martier. We've been hanging out with Carissa Schaefer and Nikki Allen from Knife and Tine. And have you had a chance to have some tasty
friends here in the studio with us?
I know,
Rob.
The friends from Knife and Tine. And Jill, I missed you so much.
You were so cute in the camera as I watch you up there in news.
And now we have Roger Badish joining us up in news and traffic.
Yeah,
and
Roger, indeed. That adorable man.
Isn't he, though? Aww. You can watch us all on WGNRadio.com, by the way, if you want to join the festivities and see what's going on. Roger being adorable up in news. We're going to be playing What's in the Box after 12:30 because we're going to catch up with each other a little bit more, talk about Drink Like the Dickens, the event coming up at Knife and Tyne on December 13th. Jill is dream weaving, so you can give us a call at 312-981-7200. And we'll be back after this. And I still haven't told you what celebrity I ran into in the lobby. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
He was on 11 episodes. 312-981-7200. You know what? Let's give away a pizza. We haven't given away too many pizzas this week. We've got a Lou Malnati's. If you can guess what celebrity I ran into in the lobby, if you listen to WGN Radio all day, you might already know. So he appeared on one of the shows during the day, and he was on 11 episodes of Two and a Half Men. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. GN TV.
Sweet dreams are made.
Okay, now if we're going to do all dream songs when Jill's here, as she should be every month at the very least, if not bi-monthly, I think that we're going to need that, Jill.
It's fun. Thank you.
Yes. And we'll coordinate with you and Knife and Tyne, too. I think that's always,
okay.
You know, have some good food and drink with your friends. By the way, Craig, if we're going to do all dream songs, I'm going to need you to pull Patsy Cline's Sweet Dreams as well. I know it's a little bit more of a slow sort of ballad, but it's one of my favorites. So.
Please don't do Debbie Gibson, Only in My Dreams. There's only so much.
Please
I can
also
handle.
Do Debbie Gibson's Only in My Dreams. Roger, do you have any requests? I know that you're a music guy. Do you have any dream?
Dream a little dream of me.
Oh, I like that. There we go. See? Oh,
that's a good one.
There we go.
That's a good one.
Poor Craig's like, could I just get through this segment? I have calls. You've been asked. I've been asking if anyone can guess what celebrity I ran into in the lobby for a Lou Malnati's $25 gift card. I was very excited. I geeked out once when I saw a celebrity years ago. The movie Notting Hill came out, and I was at the Esquire Theater. That's how long ago it was. One Notting Hill, two Esquire. Doesn't exist anymore. And I was in line getting popcorn, and in front of me was Minnie Driver. And I was trying very hard not to lose my mind. I had just come from a happy hour. I'd had two martinis, and I was younger. I hadn't eaten enough, and I was like, don't say anything. Don't say anything. You reek of vodka. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. And the woman in front of Minnie turned around and said, are you Minnie Driver? And she's like, yes, I am. And the woman goes, oh, my God, I'm a big fan. I love all your work. And Minnie Driver was like, thank you very much. And then she turned to her friend and was like, you know, I was kind of worried that no one recognized me. I mean, I don't want to feel all needy. And I was like, oh, my God. No, I
never heard. There was your opening.
I the look on her face is like, oh, never mind. I wish I were not recognizable again.
She and John Cusack in Gross Point Blank.
Oh,
one of my favorite movies ever.
Well, and Dan Aykroyd, spectacular.
At the end there? Yeah.
Such a good movie. I agree. There are a lot of people who have not seen that movie. I agree with you 100%. That's a great movie. Let's see if Gary's got... Oh, Gary has a dream. So let's go to one of our callers who has a guess on what celebrity I ran into in the lobby. And so if you listen to the station, you might already know who it might have been. Brian, who do you think it was?
I'm thinking you ran into D.B. Sweeney.
I ran into D.B. Sweeney. It was so cool.
Yes.
Brian, I did not spaz out. I was so surprised at my calmness because I passed him once, and I was like, oh, look at that guy. He looks like D.B. Sweeney. And I came in.
He's got a twin.
I know. Look at that. And because, I mean, you know, you see a celebrity, and it's out of context, and you're like, this. And then I walked back out, and I was like, oh, I'm in the lobby of the Trib Tower. Bill and Wendy are on right now. The chances are he's coming in to do the show. So I said, hey, D.B. Sweeney, are you here to go to WGN Radio? And he said, yes, I am. I said, I'm Patty Vasquez. I can let you in. Just as the producer from their show came in. And I came in and I kind of, Brian, I'm not going to lie to you, I kind of glommed down to D.B. Sweeney.
I'm not surprised.
But here's the thing. What's your favorite D.B. Sweeney appearance? What's your favorite role he's ever played?
I loved him on Two and a Half Men, like when he was, I think, Charlie Harper's uncle for that one arc.
Yes.
He was great, yeah. I listen to Bill and Wendy every day. So it was great to hear him on there.
Yeah. Well, I spazzed out and I was like, I go, this is going to be like the most random thing. But my dad was a big baseball fan. So I loved you as Shoeless Joe Jackson. And so it was a lot of fun to tell. He said he loved filming that movie and it was a lot of fun. Did you know he lived here?
No, I was unaware. I mean, I know there's a bunch of random celebrities like Michael Shannon, you know, random people that live here. But no, I did not know he lived here.
Yeah, I was surprised. He said he moved here a couple years ago. He fell in love with the city and decided to just, you know, put roots down. So I thought it was kind of cool.
I'm not surprised. Chicago's fantastic. So.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you, Brian. Good guess. Well, you knew because you listened to the station.
Patty, I just want to say I'm a huge fan. I live up in Norwood Park, so I love
hey!
Shout-outs every time for Jeff Park in Norwood Park. So that's awesome.
Did you grow up in Norwood Park, Brian?
I'm from Old Irving Park myself, but I own a house in Norwood Park now. So I love when you shout it out.
Yeah, no, that means you're doing pretty well. Because now, do you live, which side of Northwest Highway do you live? Do you live on the...
I'm right at Bryn Mawr Northwest Highway, so right by Sweet Connections Bakery.
Okay, yeah. So on our side of the tracks.
North side of Bryn Mawr, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because Norwood Park, you know, like that circle, I'm fascinated by that old Norwood Park area with those big, huge houses. And
oh my God, it's glorious. Yeah, the oldest house in Chicago was up there.
Yeah, on the top of that hill. What's that one called?
Yeah, it's like a cultural center now, or
historical center. Yeah, they used to have really good Halloween parties. They'd have like pony rides and everything. It was very cool. They haven't done those in years.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love living in Norwood Park. It's a fantastic neighborhood.
So what Lou's do you go to when you get Lou Malnati's, Brian? Do you get I sometimes go to Lincolnwood and sometimes I go to Park Ridge.
Oh, no, I was the chef at Cafe Sal Marie in Lincoln Square for a long time. So there's a location up on Lincoln, like north of Novelty Golf, that I go to.
Why are you, Carissa, why are you laughing about Sal Marie? I love Sal Marie.
No, I don't think that was laughing.
Right, no.
I think she was very impressed.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
I think she wants to hire him.
I know. She's like, do I know him? Sal Marie was
one night I did an appearance on I thought it was going to be your show, but it was the lady from A Flavor of Tea Filling, if you, Hannah Stanley. And so I brought a bunch of food in and fed Rob Martier, and I was so excited to meet him because I hear his voice every night on the radio when I drive home from work.
Wow. And his voice is amazing.
Well, you can bring me food.
Thank you for inflating my ego. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Rob. It was fantastic to meet you. We were doing it was last year. Me and some other restaurateurs from Lincoln Square were in your studio.
Oh. I do. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. I also love that. I used to live in Lincoln Square, so I love those businesses. Yeah. Hold on the line. Craig will get your information for your lose, but also to hopefully invite you back for an appearance on
Thanks
our
for
show.
Calling.
Bring us some good grub.
I would love to.
Good connection, Brian. I appreciate that. Have a good night. Yep. I was. I totally geeked out with D.B. Sweeney. It was. I geeked out, but I was also very calm about it. I ran into Ann Cusack in an elevator in L.A., and like my brain went through all the first things I could say and threw them away. Like, hey, you're John's sister, or your Jones' sister, and I went to the middle of a conversation and said, "Hey, you're from Evanston, like, aren't you?" And like, it was so random that she was actually kind of pleased by that sort of beginning of a conversation. But yes, D.B. Sweeney was charming. Walked him upstairs, got him some coffee upstairs because our green room is in disarray. So I was very excited. I gave him my card. I said, "Come on my show," and hopefully he will. We have Gary on the line. Jill, can we have another dream for you? But we're gonna do it.
Yes.
Can we do it after the news?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You're staying, Gary. Hope you don't mind. We're gonna hold on to you till after the news because it's time for a break, and then Roger has stuff to tell you. Did you not find Patsy Cline's Sweet Dreams? Is this what we're doing?
I have Patsy Cline's Sweet Dreams queued up.
I like this one too. That's all right. Because we are still talking to our listeners about their dreams. Chris and Todd, you're on hold for What's in the Box. You are our contestants, and we'll be playing with you shortly. Yeah. This is fun to say. But Gary right now has been holding for quite a bit. We have two dreams that Jill's going to talk about. One for Gary, who's on the line, and another from a texter. Gary, since you've been waiting, let me go ahead and take your call. Hi, Gary. Gary?
Yes.
Hey.
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
Westmont.
Rosemont. All right. We have Jill.
Westmont.
Westmont. I didn't want to say it any differently. Jill is ready to take your dream. Go ahead.
Okay. Mine has to do with the war. I'm in a war zone, and we're walking on patrol, and all of a sudden we get contact with the enemy, a lot of shooting and everything. So we hit the ground. Everybody around me is shooting and everything. And I hit the ground, but I lost my rifle. And I said, my God, I can't find my rifle. And so I'm on the ground looking for it. And everybody's asking me, said, Gary, where's your rifle? And I said, I don't know. I can't find it. I lost it. And so this goes on, and I never did find it. And then I wake up.
Okay, quick question, Gary. Were you in any war, or did you fight at all?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then I would think the most obvious, there's two things before I knew that. This could very well just be everything you went through, sadly. Maybe there were times you felt like in real life as you went through this that maybe you couldn't defend somebody or, you know, something like that. I don't know what you went through, so you see where I'm trying to go with it. That could be the obvious answer, or I'm thinking that has to stay with you. And I'm sure anything in life that maybe you can't control, that's like your defense. What you used in battle, your rifle, maybe you feel like in life it could be something really simplistic that maybe you can't control, something irritating like, let's say, the train doesn't come on time. Something simple as that, you know, your rifle was your defense. And it sounds like you need your defense in that dream for maybe either something going on in your life, or I think it's just some sort of a flashback for what you were going through. So I don't know if that makes any sense to you. Because if that was the thing that helped you, and that was the thing that protected you and, you know, helped you fight, then that would be your, that would be the thing that you probably associate in life with anything that's going on to be your defense.
Okay, well, thank you much.
I hope that helps.
Yeah.
You're
welcome. I'll think about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Gary, for calling in. We appreciate that. Have a good night. And you have a dream from a texter who didn't want to come on the air.
I won't even say her name then, but basically she had a dream as a kid from 3 or 4 to about 10. It was a recurring dream of a pitch black screen. On the right side was a red object like an apple, and on the other side something like a piano, and the apple would run at her. And as the apple ran, the piano music would get louder and louder. She became more afraid, and she'd run away from the piano, and the apple was darting toward her. If it was an apple, that's a bizarre dream, but if you were a kid, I think that's pretty impressive. Okay, black is black. I personally love the color black, but let's take it for what it is. Black is scary, okay? Darkness, especially at 3 or 4. Apples are very good things to have in dreams. They're red. They're wisdom. Apple's a solid fruit. Apple is prosperity. Apple is a good, solid thing. I think maybe, and it's a positive thing, the piano, I think, was just your mind putting together how the music was playing, especially at such a young mind. I'm thinking maybe you were, you know, as you were growing up, you had this to about 10 and were going through life. It's going to sound crazy, but I am crazy. Perhaps the apple coming at you was just positive things. Maybe you were afraid of them at the time. That's why you were running from them. And I think the music was getting louder. I think that was just in sync with everything going on. It was probably very scary because that would be scary as a kid. But I think maybe it was you just growing up and interpreting that would be scary when it was really probably trying to catch up with you in a good way, but you ran from it. Now, you can't say if that makes sense because you're not on the phone with me, but I hope it does. There you go. That scared me, actually, by the way. So, I was so into my moment.
Patsy has a haunting voice.
Yeah, she does.
How much time do I have on that? Another 20 seconds? And come true. Okay, I know. It's kind of something you have to hear all the way through.
We could play 30 seconds of it every few minutes if you want.
I could be crazy about this, but there's Adele, who, by the way, people are crazy about this song. You know what? Let's get to Adele in a little bit. If you guys don't mind, I want to talk about Adele again because Griffin was asking me why people are responding so strongly, and I don't know. He's 12, right? So he doesn't quite there yet, but I think the guys also aren't quite getting.
Hello. How are you?
And every time you say that, I'm waiting for the Lionel Richie version.
I know, me too.
Hello.
Well, hello. It's time to play What's in the Box? Do we have our theme music for this one? I know poor Craig's like, you asked for Patsy Cline. Maybe if Patsy Cline was
still looking
singing,
for Debbie Gibson, Patty, don't worry about it.
I did get a message from a...
Little boxes made of ticky-tacky little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes.
I have a very long message from a listener about the history and the intent of this song and the messages in it. So we'll get to that sometime. But I appreciate you informing me and filling me in on the actual original song, Little Boxes. But right now it's time for What's in the Box. We have two listeners on the line. We have Chris, who's ready to play What's in the Box. Hi, Chris. Where are you calling from?
I'm in O'Hare right now, actually.
Are you a livery driver? Are you a cabbie?
Uber, actually.
Oh, you're an Uber driver. All right. Has it been a good night tonight?
It's been fairly good.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you. So do you have WGN on when you have passengers?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's a good way to it's a good way to get out there. Have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
I have not.
Oh, excellent.
You poor man.
You're our favorite kind of contestant. And it'll be painless, I promise. Todd, how are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Rockford.
Rockford, Illinois. All right. Every time I talk to a comic that says I just performed in Rockford, every comic goes, did you play the Clock Tower? Because apparently there's a venue there. Have you ever seen a comedy show in Rockford?
Well, the one I always see is at the Coronado. The tower does not have a venue any longer.
Oh, yeah, well, that's it's funny because we always refer to it. Now, did you ever go see Bob and Tom at the Coronado? The Bob and Tom Comedy
All-Stars? No. You know what? I got into them late. Yeah. Still a big fan.
I performed at the Coronado with the Bob and Tom Comedy All-Stars, one of my favorite gigs in history of my career.
Oh, cool.
Was performing
that's
at the,
very
that's
cool.
a beautiful theater. Have you heard us play What's in the Box?
I have. I'm sorry. I'll try not to be too jaded.
No. Oh, do you feel jaded about What's in the Box? I hope that we...
Oh, I think it's great.
Oh, thank you. We try to keep it fresh and fun. I try to mix in new reviews as often as I can. Roger brings his own reviews, and I love that because it means that he looks at what I look at, and it can be a little bit... It can make the eyes burn a little bit, doesn't it, Roger?
It's getting a little scary that I think so much like you.
Well, some of the reviews... Okay, so to fill in Chris, by the way. Chris, do you shop online at all?
A little bit.
Do you base any of your purchases on the reviews that you find? Because I generally will only buy something that's at least four stars out of five.
Yeah, I like to read the one stars usually.
And he's right, though. What was so bad about it that somebody had to write a one-star review? And they'll usually say, right. if I could give this zero stars, they'll say things like that. So, Chris, I was surprised to find out that people will write reviews about everything. I mean, like, you know, we have our usuals, like maybe, you know, for televisions and for cell phones, for headphones, for, you know, for kitchen appliances, and for, as it turns out, also adult toys. That's so kind of where the inspiration for this game arose, shall we say. I perhaps was, like, just curious. I'd heard that some women, you know, they felt that it kept them healthy in certain ways, and I had not yet... ventured down that path, and I thought, well, what? And then I found out people write reviews, and we created a game called What's in the Box. We will read reviews for you, and you have to guess if it's a review for a kitchen appliance or an appliance. So, but you, as a response to the review, will say either a toy or an appliance. So, does that make sense, Chris?
Yeah.
Chris is like, I hope I don't know if I want to get any passengers right now. So now that you know the rules, we're going to take a quick break and hang on, and we will start playing What's in the Box on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
2, 3, let's all sing. Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one.
It's time for What's in the Box, and I'm thrilled to welcome back to the Allstate Showcase studio. Well, first of all, Jill Urchek, who we are thrilled to have back as well.
Thank you.
Because we miss you so much. Listeners have missed you a lot.
I miss being on the air.
And it's good to have you. And we demand that you whatever it takes to get you, we'll hire, you know, you like to have your pick your own babysitters.
You bring that chili con queso in along with these knife and thyme people, you got yourself a deal.
I see what happened there. I see what happened. Dwayne Kennedy, who just got off the stage at Zany's on Wells, is joining us again. It was so much fun having him here on Monday, and I realized it had been too long since the last time, so now I'm just doubling up every chance that he's available.
Okay. Thanks,
I'm like,
Betty.
Just be in studio. Rob Martier, our favorite newsman, and our other favorite newsman, Roger Badish, is also playing What's in the Box. They're all our favorites, but when they're here, we say they're actually our favorite. You're our favorite in the room, also in the newsroom. Our favorite restaurateur, Carissa Schaefer, joins us from Knife and Tine, and our favorite mixologist, Nikki Allen, has made some mulled wine. We have to make sure we let listeners know how to make that before you go tonight. And on the line, we have Chris and Todd, who are playing What's in the Box. Hey, guys, you ready to go?
You betcha.
Oh, no. Chris, you got to call back. Chris, I just hung up on you. Chris, call back. 981-7200.
Oh.
I know. I'm a terrible human being.
Chris, the Uber driver, call back.
Chris, the Uber driver, call back. Call
makes
back.
It an easy win, though.
I am so sorry, Chris. Oh, man, and he's working, and I put him on hold. I was so excited to start the game that I hung up on Chris. I hope that's him again. Hold on one second. I have to answer this on the – I think I have to do this on the air. Hold on. Hello. You've reached WGN Radio. Who's calling?
I'm back.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Hold on.
Hey.
I was taking a chance on that one. Okay. Rob Martier is going to read for Chris first since we hung up on him. Chris,
okay, you ready?
Here we go, Rob.
Here we go. Nice balance. If it were too light, it would feel cheap. Plenty of power.
What do you think, Chris?
Toy?
Oh, Chris, I'm sorry. An appliance.
Oh. All right.
Sorry, buddy.
All right, Todd. Carissa Schaefer will be reading for you.
Okay.
This thing is terrible. It gets really hot.
What do you think?
It's a short one, but I'm going to go toy.
It's an appliance.
Oh.
Shouldn't it get hot if it's a toy? I don't know. I don't use those things.
Within reason. Within reason.
Yeah. You don't want to electrocute yourself.
Can you imagine that lawsuit? Well, you see, Your Honor.
It got hot. Isn't it supposed to get hot? Nikki, will you please read for Chris?
Of course. Are you ready, Chris?
We are tied at 0-0. Go ahead.
First use was amazing, but the second time I attempted to use it, it shorted out completely.
Oh.
Pity.
Toy.
Yay.
Hey. Ding, 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 ding. Well, there we go. Jill, will you please read for Chris?
Sure.
No, for Todd. I'm sorry, for Todd. Todd, yes.
Todd, it took me a second to figure out all the buttons and such. It's great for a good price, and it's easy to clean and store.
I'm going to have to say appliance with all those buttons.
You would think, but it's a toy.
Ooh.
Oh,
sorry.
I need to see that one. Dangerous.
See, it's not the number of buttons that's the problem. It's the range of... we're going to have Dwayne Kennedy. Will you please read for Chris?
Super cute, awesome little thing. No complaints.
Appliance.
Oh. Is it on the back? It's an appliance.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Oh. Yeah. Can we get him headphones? I'm sorry. He said appliance. Yes. I didn't even notice that. Here we go. Let's see. Yes. Ding. 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 Ding.
Yes.
That was for Chris, right? Here. Yes. We are making some arrangements. Hold on. 1 second. Let me do this, and we get you some headphones over there. Oh. Roger, will you please read for Todd?
Thanks, man. Okey-dokey.
Chris is ahead 2-0.
2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Todd, dude, God changed us.
Man.
Here's his chance. Here we go.
But I got some difficult ones.
By the way, Roger does his own reviews. He pulls his own reviews.
I almost didn't get them all done. A couple of them I just really started reading.
No, they're engrossing. Aren't they?
Yeah, be gentle.
Really?
Be gentle.
Okay, here we go.
Be gentle.
We ordered the gray to keep it very gender friendly.
All right, if it's not a toy, then I'm just going to have to resign.
Well, so your answer is?
Toy.
Correct.
Wow.
Very good.
Well done.
Gray? To keep it gender friendly.
I know, yeah, but if really? I saw gray one, I'd run.
I know. You kind of want to be cheerful.
Gangrene. Yeah, what's up with that?
You know, just something cheerful this fall.
But that's the way things are going these days. Gender neutral.
Yeah,
we're all boys and girls.
His and hers. Yeah.
No difference.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Martier, will you please read for Chris?
All right, Chris, this is a long one.
That's not the review. That's
no,
not the review.
Literally, this is a long one. You ready?
Yep.
I will admit that when I ordered this product, I expected a cheap, flimsy version. I was pleasantly surprised when it came to me looking as nice as it shows on the listing. It's very sleek and smooth. Very nice quality. Not a cheapy one that will die in a few weeks.
You ain't kidding. That was a short story.
I told you.
I thought that
it's
was
like
Edgar
War,
Allan
it's like War and Peace.
So I gave it to Rob. I just... What do you think, Chris?
Oh, man. Appliance?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a toy.
You'd be surprised how much time people take. Yeah, people take some time with their toy reviews. You'd be very surprised.
I think my man might have dozed off during the description. What happened? Huh?
Sleek. Who? It was sleek. Carissa, will you please read for Todd? He's down to by one.
Okay.
All right.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Very weak. Not nearly as strong as I expected. I was very excited to get this product, but it doesn't work like I expected from the reviews.
Hmm. See?
No. All right. So before I answer, I'd like to come back to the gray for gender neutral. I'm thinking... If you're using it right, you're not going to see the color anyway.
So. Oh, well.
Oh, hey.
Fair enough. Oh. Yep.
Turkey's
Wait a
done.
I didn't write them, all right?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I am going to say appliance.
It's a toy.
Oh.
Man.
You're breaking my heart.
I'm sorry.
Wow, they're getting so emotionally attached to these reviews.
I'm into it. Yeah.
All right, Chris, are you ready for Nikki to read to you?
Oh, yeah.
All right, this one's short and sweet. Very handy, but basic and simple.
Hmm.
Do you want me to read that
appliance.
For you again? Okay.
Is it an appliance?
Nope.
It's an appliance.
It's an appliance.
Hey, well done. There you go.
There we go. All right, Jill, will you please read for Todd? Todd is now down by two.
All right, Todd, let's do this. This right. is a featherweight,
can I,
and it does
can I
the
go double or nothing. Or...
This is featherweight, and it does the job. You know those heavy ones wear me out just lifting them.
Oh, God, I think it's an appliance.
Yay, Todd, it is an appliance.
There you go, Dad.
That sounds
See,
like it
you're
might
not
be
a
both.
Braver.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Okay, Roger, will you please read for Chris, who is leading 3-2?
3-2.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yes. Let's see. All right, here we go, Chris. We purchased this less than a month ago, and I'm so glad we got this one. The controls are pleasant to look at, easy to use, and plenty of options.
Wow.
Appliance.
Wow, very good.
Excellent.
Hey.
There we go. So that was Todd, yes?
No, that was Chris.
That was, oh, Chris. I was hoping we tied it up. I don't know. I was so excited.
Is it tied up now?
No, it's not. Chris
oh,
is
no.
ahead 4-2 now.
No. Oh, okay.
All right. Sorry, Todd. I was not that I'm not cheering against you, Chris. I like even Steven. That was all. Dwayne Kennedy will be reading for Todd.
I honestly was not a huge fan of the turn the wheel type activation. I found it very easy to turn this product off by accident.
You know, I need to hear the first part of that again.
Okay. I honestly was not a huge fan of the turn the wheel type activation. I found it very easy to turn this product off by accident.
Can we get a third time in another voice?
Yes.
I honestly was not a huge fan of the turn the wheel type activation. I found it very easy to turn this product off by accident.
Okay, now one more time in another voice.
I'm voiced out.
Well, that's when you do your regular voice.
Oh, I thought that was my regular voice. Oh, yeah. Who am I? I honestly was not Johnny a huge Cochran. Fan of the turn the wheel type activation. I found it very easy to turn this product off. By accident.
What do you think?
Well, I've got a mental picture here, and I've got to say an adult toy.
It does say toy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Toy.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Nice.
You could have kept the adult part to yourself, sir. This is a family show. Am I right, Patty?
I'm not going to hand it to my granddaughter, though. So.
Okay, then. This turn is taking a turn for the perv.
All right. Before we throw to the news, let's see if Chris can win this one. Who wants to buy a show? Who thinks they have the one to wants to end this game on? In case Chris wins it, anybody?
I do.
You do. All right,
well, I don't
Jill.
Want to take anybody who wants to
now,
get it.
No, Jill, you go. Okay, read to Chris. Let's see if he gets it on this one.
Absolutely hate it. The speed adjuster goes the wrong direction. It's difficult to use.
Toy.
Oh,
it's an appliance.
That means that you have to hang on through the news, Chris and Todd.
Sorry.
Chris, Todd, can you hang on through the news?
Sure.
All right. Is that both of you? Are you answering for both of you?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. All right. Hold on. Do we have a break before the news? We do. One second. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late, and we are playing What's in the Box, where our contestants have to guess if the review that we read for them is for an appliance or an adult toy. We have Todd on the line, and we have Chris. Chris is ahead by 2. It is 4-3 right now, and Todd is up next. Todd, are you ready for Dwayne Kennedy to read for you?
I am.
Excellent. Here you go, Dwayne. Oh, you should have a microphone. Let's do that.
Yeah, okay,
hello. There
yeah.
you go. So much better that way.
It looks like it is well made and came perfectly packaged, but was a disappointing purchase.
Oh.
That purchase sucked.
Oh, I'm going to have to go with an appliance.
No.
Oh boy.
No boy.
So sorry,
oh,
Todd. These are rough
My
tonight.
My confidence is shaken.
No, don't be. This is there's no wrong answers.
No, no, no.
Except when you get it wrong.
He just told me that was a wrong answer.
I know. I was trying to be positive, and I couldn't.
Everybody gets a ribbon.
They do. Everyone wins. Everyone wins.
The participation.
I participated.
Yes, you did. Yes.
Your ribbon will be orange. It will say last.
No, it won't.
Oh, no, it won't.
You'll have your choice of wonderful gifts, either from Apt or from Louis Belnani's. Rob Martier, we read for Chris, please.
All right, Chris, you ready?
Yeah.
Some may say they love it or like it, but coming from a very picky, choosy person, I'd rather just not use this. Waste of money.
Oh.
Appliance.
Oh, toy.
You got to be picky and choosy when you have your toys. Yes. I'm just saying. I'm so sorry, Chris. Now for Todd, Roger Badish, will you please read for Todd?
Okay, Todd. This one's going to be easy, right?
Oh.
Good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Not.
look at Roger just taunting our contestants now. Sorry. Look at that.
Yeah, here we go. All right. So short. Short little whatever here. This.
Okay.
This has been my most expensive purchase to date.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So I. Since there's no hints in what was said, I'll just stick with appliance.
Wrong. It was a toy.
Wow.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Oh, man. Now you're really trying to shake Todd up.
Is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
You know, this is going to go on my resume. I'm sorry.
Somebody just snorted. I love it.
There's no record of who snorted. There's no record of who snorted. We will not keep track of such things. Todd, man.
Yeah, just, I know.
All right, we'll make
Chris,
sure.
Chris, I bow down.
Well, it's still four. Hey, Chris has not moved from having four correct answers in quite a bit. Let's see what Carissa Schaefer can do for Chris. Are you ready? Here we go.
This was cheaply made. I guess for the money, it was okay.
It's always about the price.
I know, isn't it, though? You'd be surprised how a little more money would go a long way. I'm sorry.
No, that's it.
It's got to be a toy.
It's an appliance.
Oh.
Buddy.
Wow, he was so confident because she sounded so disappointed, right? Because if you have
a race to the bottom.
It's not. You each. Nikki, can you boost Todd's spirits with your review?
Yes, please.
Highly recommend this product. Very easy to use. Have been using almost every day. Love this product.
Oh. Horn dog.
Hey, if you'll excuse me.
Didn't say anything like, and I've never chipped a tooth on it or anything, get it?
Wow.
How do you think we use these?
Whoa.
Wow. He must mean Sonic toothbrush. Sonic toothbrush.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm going to say a toy.
I'm sorry.
Oh, come on, this is Sonic.
No chip teeth for this one.
That's what you get for trying to put your own joke into the middle of this game.
Hey.
There you go. Just saying.
I stop from crying.
Are we still stuck at 4-3?
We are at 4-3.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a couple tiebreakers, but they're so obvious and just so weird to read. I'm going to continue with the game. Go ahead, Jill. Okay. Jill, you're going to read
for Chris. All right, you ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. Follow the directions. It did not work. Do not waste your money on this junk.
Appliance.
Toy. And you know what, Todd? I would have said appliance, too. Oh, I'm sorry. I am. You were so happy.
What's fun is to hear them trying to, like, outsmart the game. Right?
He's like, appliance!
Clearly, that's an appliance. Okay, Dwayne, do you have another review for Todd?
Yes.
Yes, for Todd. Mm-hmm.
I received this for my birthday, and I'm very, very happy. I love the smoothness and how simple it is to operate.
Okay, smoothness makes me say toy.
What do you think? What is it?
Yes.
Oh!
It's not a toy.
Goodness. Oh, no!
Yes, you are wrong.
Psycho.
Wow.
I'm sorry, brother. That was an appliance.
That's just a psycho. Does everybody have enough reviews?
I have more.
All right.
You still want a Dwayne.
I'm making sure that everyone has enough.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob. Here's the one for Rob.
All right. Who am I reading for?
You are reading for Chris.
All right. Chris, nothing to write home about, but okay. Or
write home about it.
Nothing to write home about, but okay.
Wolfram appliance?
A toy. It's a toy.
Whoa. Dear Mom, look what I just bought at Toys R Us.
I don't know who we just read for. Was it Todd?
Boy.
Was it Todd that we just read for, or was it Chris?
No, that was Chris.
All right, Carissa, will you please read for Todd? We're at 4-3.
Amazing. Can't live without it.
Well, I'll go with toy.
It's an appliance.
Does it not have an extra?
Hey, you know what, guys? I've got to be back here at 11 in the morning.
How many kids do you have again?
Four.
You got four kids?
Yes.
All right. Hold on a second. Who do you? All right. Here, Rob. Will you please read this for who are we up to? Is it Chris next? Was that Chris or Todd?
Who's next?
Chris is next.
Chris is next. Are you ready?
Yeah. Here you go.
Yep.
Just to let you in on a dirty little secret, I ordered this, and when I opened it, the tray for the crumbs. The tray for the crumbs.
Oh my God.
Was not in the package.
I'm having bad visions.
Please let it be an appliance.
Ding, ding, ding. It is an appliance.
Thank God.
Right.
Ooh. All right.
Wow.
Wait a minute. He could have been snacking in bed. You never know.
That's one of my game. That's the game ender right there. But you both win a prize, Todd. You'll get a prize either way because Chris will choose whether or not he wants the Apt Electronics gift card or the Lou Malnati's. Lou Malnati's, you have 42 locations in the Chicagoland area. Go to loumalnati's.com. Apt Electronics, thank you so much, Steve Shapiro, up in Glenview, and go to apt.com to find out about all their wonderful products. Todd, Chris, you guys have been wonderful contestants. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late and being really great sports. It was adorable. All right, Rob Martyr, you are back here at 11. Thank you so much. We do you want to hang out just for a little bit?
Yeah, let's go to the bottom of the hour.
We can wind up with Rob Martyr. We have Dwayne Kennedy in studio with us, Carissa Schaefer, Nikki Allen from Knife and Tine, and Jill Erchuk is in the studio riding sidecar. More after this on 720 WGN. Little boxes. Is this Russian? The Russian version of Little Boxes? There's no word for tiki-taki.
Better be Polish.
Is it Polish or Russian? It's Russian.
Russian.
It's Russian. Why do you...
Just go European.
I was going to say Polish first, by the way.
Well, no, because we're in Chicago.
Oh, I see.
I had some Russians in the show.
Second did you really? Show. Come closer to the microphone so we can all hear about it.
Oh, are we talking? Oh, oops. Anyway, Patty, on a radio show, you had to talk into the microphone.
There were Russians at Zany's tonight?
Yeah.
Not like there can't be Russians, but they were like visiting from Russia or had moved here?
They had moved here to heckle me, apparently.
No. What style does a Russian heckle a Dwayne Kennedy?
Bless you.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, you know what? They were just talking through the set. You've seen that. You've heard
disruptive.
That.
They were being disruptive.
Right.
A Dwayne Kennedy set.
Yeah. Talking amongst themselves.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And it's clearly
made joke about vodka yet. No vodka joke.
Yeah, I didn't want to. I didn't want to say too much to them because I didn't want to have somebody touch me with an umbrella and
plutonium sort of situation. Poisoning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you talking at all about the current events right now? Because you tend to keep your material very fresh. You're constantly writing, commenting on what things, you know.
I mentioned it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Did it make the audience uncomfortable?
Oh, no, Patty. They loved it. I loved it, Patty. Yeah. What? Brothers getting shot in the streets. I was hoping you'd open with that. Woo! Yeah. Was that your holiday material? Yeah.
Well, you know, when we had our conversation on Monday, there were some texters who were angry, but there were other texters who said, thank you for having this conversation. Mm-hmm. There's anger. There's anger on both sides.
Right.
And there is, for us, the reason we're comics is because if we didn't make light of it, and we're not making light of it to make fun of it, right. We're actually addressing our emotions.
Right.
The way we relieve stress is through humor. That's just all there is to it.
Right. And it's cathartic. Hopefully.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, just, you know, hopefully it's for everybody, but for us.
Yeah. And like you said, not to not to be glib or flip about somebody's death or murder, but try to offer, let's bring some levity to things.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned when you came in that there's another tape that might be coming out.
Right.
And it sounds as though, Rob, have you heard anything about the possibility that it's sooner rather than later?
It's going to be released at some point in time. Mayor Emanuel is endorsing the release of the video of Ronald Johnson, mm-hmm. right. who just 8 days before the Laquan McDonald shooting, mm-hmm. Ronald Johnson was shot. Now, the family of Ronald Johnson claims that he was running away. Mm-hmm. The officers claim that he was not. The officers say he had a gun.
Right.
The family says he did not.
Right.
But apparently, from what I've read right now, the video, much like the Laquan McDonald video, is pretty damning.
Oh, no.
And not only that, but Johnson was shot in the back
right.
as he was running away.
Running away. Hmm. Is there, now we'll have to talk to a police officer or a lawyer, because I think I've also heard, as far as training, if even though someone is fleeing, an officer who opens fire, if they believe that they might be running towards someone else to cause harm, and they've ordered the suspect to drop their weapon to stop, can open fire if they think that anyone else might be in danger, if they're running towards someone else to hurt them.
Yeah, or towards a weapon to grab or... Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it's.
I'm just.
But when you.
But we haven't seen this video yet.
Right.
We haven't seen this video yet, and there were multiple officers on the scene in that particular shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the Laquan McDonald video, what I think, even along, the 16 shots aside, is just the massive response.
Yeah.
There were at least 4 or 5 squad cars there, which meant that there were at least 8 to 10. Chicago police officers there.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, he had a knife and it was a dangerous situation. But I think what I call into question is, you mean to tell me that 8 burly Chicago cops can't take down 1 teenage kid?
Right.
Right. And is that there's not a taser amongst you?
Yeah, well, that was something I've talked to a reporter with the Chicago Tribune, that there had been a call for backup with taser. They had the officers on site.
So it's like one taser going around the department. That taser when you come.
They're under equipped. They are not equipped with tasers.
Look, it's easy for us to second guess an armchair quarterback the situation, but even a baton, mm-hmm. you can't take out a baton and get the knife away from this kid.
Right.
Right.
You know, I mean, just to...
Well, and the police, and I know that Roger and you are reporting on what were the reports falsified, and that they had said that he lunged toward the police officers.
That came out tonight, and the written report seems to contradict what we've seen on the video.
Right.
That written report says that he was lunging towards officers when clearly you can see he's veering away.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And...
The other part of the report was that Van Dyke felt that... He was still getting up from the ground after being shot the first time, trying to stab at Van Dyke, and he felt in fear of his life.
And there's
he reported that in his report 3 different times after he had continued to shoot the suspect, allegedly shoot the suspect,
the
since
video,
it's still in trial.
I know a lot of people don't want to watch the video, and you should not if that's... I mean, don't let us make you feel like this is something you have to do. I know a lot of people are like, well, why do we have to see the video? Why was the video released? I am of the opinion that this was necessary. This was an important thing because of the police report. Because if it were not for the video, I don't believe that Anita Alvarez would be pressing first-degree murder charges.
No.
I think people should watch the video.
I
really, truly do, because these are the types of things that go on that when you read about them mm-hmm. in the paper, it's 2-dimensional.
Right.
When you see them, it now becomes 3-dimensional.
Right.
And look, we say this constantly. There are good cops out there. It's spur of the moment sort of thing. This was excessive.
This was. And they never checked for vitals. That's the other thing. That's part of their training, is to check for vitals.
Right.
One other thing that came out in the report that was issued, last night, the police report, is there was reference to a 2012 police department bulletin about an alleged knife that can also shoot bullets.
What?
Yes. It was in the actual police report. It was referenced in the police report from the McDonald shooting.
Mm-hmm.
That from 2012, there was a police bulletin warning officers that there was a knife that they apparently heard about that could shoot bullets, and that if an attacker points the knife at you, it could be one of those, and so be careful.
Right. So they're alleging that they were suspicious that it might have been a weapon that could fire bullets.
They didn't specifically state that, but they referenced the bulletin.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, when it comes to their defense, they can refer back to that.
That sounds just like some concocted preemptive strike. So in case you shoot somebody with a knife, remember there was an edict out that there's knives that shoot bullets. Yeah. Who are you arresting, James Bond?
Right. No. Yeah.
Well, here, look, still, the reality is this. Let's say the knife could shoot bullets, which sounds
ridiculous.
Completely.
Like a comic book almost.
Completely ridiculous. Yeah.
And don't forget, blacks can fly, so just in case.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, just in case.
Just in case.
We're just putting it out there.
Yeah, okay.
Again, the response in this video, and I'm assuming it'll probably be much the same in the Ronald Johnson video, was so overwhelmingly lopsided. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a one-on-one confrontation. This wasn't Van Dyke with McDonald on a dark street. This was clearly in favor of Chicago police. So even if he had gotten off a phantom shot, he would have been
down after
unloaded
that.
On
right
at that point.
Yeah. Oh, well, one of the other things I found out from a Chicago Tribune reporter was that not only are they not equipped with tasers, they're also not necessarily training them, you know, re-upping their firearms training every year the way they're supposed to.
Oh,
so whether or not that's playing into this or not, you know, that's something I can't name the reporter, and the reporter would not give me their sources either. But that's something that they have been sort of doing some research on. Yes, Craig?
A text message from the 847 has come from Leo. Let's get to the real reason why the video wasn't released a year ago. Rahm Emanuel never would have been reelected with a video like this out there.
Yep. Yeah. I agree with that, too.
I know. I wouldn't have voted for him.
Did you? You didn't vote for him.
I didn't vote for him the first time, and then I voted for him the second time.
I can't talk to you. More for this on 720 WG.
You didn't vote for him at all?
No, I didn't vote for him the second time. I voted for him the first time.
Well, wait a minute. We both can't talk to each other.
Oh, man, it's Saturday already. I am leaving for a little bit of a time off, and we only have three more shows left for this year, but we are back on January 1st. Craig, are you working on New Year's Day? Yeah, we're going to be back. We're going to be back here. I am not leaving WGN. As it turns out, while I was pitching for my sitcom that has been ordered by ABC, it hasn't been ordered. It's under development at ABC Network. I never took a day off. I would go out to Los Angeles. I would pitch all day to different networks. I would go to all the studios, and I would get back to my the office at Mark DeCarlo's home, and I would broadcast our show, and I piled up 20 vacation days.
So, slacker.
I know. I never wanted people to think, oh, she's going off and taking time off. Like, this show is not a hobby to me. Doing and developing a show for for ABC television is not a hobby. These are both, they're both parallel projects. These are my passions. And I never wanted to make it seem as though this was secondary, and it is not. So I am taking a week off because I have 20 vacation days. Have you ever had a job where you get benefits? Because it's weird.
Oh, the writing gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of, remember the WGA, the Writers Guild?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's the greatest union on earth.
I'm joining that union.
I got medical procedures I didn't even need.
I might, and don't be upset with me if I say this. I'm thinking about, because I've heard it's such good coverage, I might get a breast reduction. I know.
You're talking crazy now, Patty.
Just what? What? Carissa, what are you shaking your head at me for? We've talked
because
about my size.
I know we have. But...
It's not proportionate to my size.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's not.
I know, but they're so lovely.
I have permanent indentations in my shoulders.
Oh, but it's you.
It's me.
If you go have the procedure, you come back, you go, you do a show, and everyone says, no, that's not Penny.
It's not Jennifer Grey getting a nose job.
Would any of us care as much if it was any other part of Patty's body that she was talking about? Would anyone else be like, no, Patty, don't?
Don't.
Yeah. It all depends.
I don't know what else. I mean, like when I was younger, and Nikki, I don't know why I'm looking at you when I tell you this, because when I was younger, I was teased for my eyes when I was little, and people would make fun of me for looking Asian. So I always wanted to have like a surgery to have like the fold taken out, because I have almond-shaped eyes. And that was the only thing I wanted when I was like, I've never wanted it since. But in my my neighborhood, I was in an all-white neighborhood, and people would call me different. They would call me really mean Asian names. So that was the only other surgery in my entire life that I've ever wanted, and that I've outgrown that because I like my eyes. But
it's causing you like physical discomfort.
Pain. Yeah, I have my left shoulder always hurts. Yeah.
Oh, that's different then.
Yeah, and I was evaluated, and they said they could remove 300 cc's from each. So,
Well, how many?
What bra size would I be then? I am currently a 32G. I would like to at least go down to like maybe a double D or a D cup. I think. I mean, D's are that's respectable. Why are we? Yeah. I can't believe I'm having this conversation on the air. I blame
the
mulled
about
wine.
The CCs.
Yeah.
Like how many CCs is a G?
How many CCs get you down to DDs? To D's.
Look, you'd be surprised. There are a lot of women who think about it. And it's, you know, the whole like, oh, don't touch those. But the women who have larger breasts know what I'm talking about. That it's just not, I've never felt comfortable. I mean, like I'm older now and I'm trying to be more confident carrying them around. But the only thing that worries me is the scarring. That's the only thing.
Yeah. I mean, if it's causing you physical discomfort, that's something else.
Thank you, Dwayne.
You know, I like to weigh in with breast chat. Breast chat with
have you ever,
basket.
Chris, is there anything you've ever thought about changing?
Oh, yes. Most certainly.
Really?
Yes.
All right. What surgery would you ever, like, if you had a dream surgery?
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I'd like them to come, like, suck all the fat out of my middle.
Is that
for,
what
like, ever. Yes.
Forever? Okay.
Because it doesn't matter. Even, like, when I was as the thinnest little thing, I always had a really big midsection.
Okay.
So people ask me if I'm pregnant all the time.
No.
Yes.
Stop doing that.
Somebody did it like a couple days ago. Yes. And it makes me like really sad.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're a beautiful
just like,
woman.
Let's lipo it all out.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. I made that mistake one time on stage.
Oh.
Oh,
so, how you doing, ma'am? So when do you do? I'm not pregnant.
Mm. Oh.
Oh, I sure wish you were. Yikes.
Nikki, have you ever thought about having plastic surgery? You can say no. It's okay. We don't have.
No.
All right.
That's
all right. I don't think. Roger, have you ever thought about having plastic surgery?
Never.
Never? Craig?
I'm happy the way I am.
Yeah, I want to be a lot of different things. You know, if I could be like a huge tall guy who played sports, that'd be great.
I'm talking about like real surgery.
Wow.
There's got to be surgeries for Patty. They got the technology. By the way, people were asking, the amount of cc's per cup is 236.
Oh, well, there you go.
So you'd be going over.
Who knows these things?
I got a website. I got a guy. It's
I got
the
a
rice
guy.
Test.
I got a guy.
We're doing the rice test.
Yes,
I'm pretty late.
The recommended removal would be 300 cc's. Yeah.
And I got to clarify I don't want any changes.
Yes.
Without my approval, but necessarily, they already took stuff out of me. So.
Oh, that's true. Yes. So you wouldn't want to have anything altered.
I've given enough.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dwayne, have you ever, is there anything, I mean, dudes don't think about plastic surgery as much, do they?
Probably more than they used to.
Okay.
What would I get done? I don't know. I don't know.
But if you don't know, then you don't think about it. That's the thing.
You know what?
Chris and I like went right to the thing that we think
I know.
About.
Why am I like the only one?
No. I used to want to have like a lipo on my thighs as well. I wanted a thigh gap when I was younger, before it was a thing.
Mm. I tell you what, though, Patty, if indeed you do go through with it.
Yes. You want a before picture?
No. Well, you know, I always ask you for those. But anyway, you know.
I'm sorry. You were going to say something
else. No. Wait until your show is picked up.
Yes.
Yeah, because Hollywood, I'm telling you, it seems ridiculous. Just.
Oh yeah, no. I'm not doing anything before. I mean, like, my guess is they're gonna start telling me what I need to work on before we even go to network.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna start telling me what I need to.
Hey, here's what you need to do.
You ever heard those stories? Margaret Cho talks about like they actually had like a picture of her like where she needed to lose weight. Like they gave her like a month. Oh yeah.
Didn't she become bulimic?
Yeah, she became bulimic. Yeah. She had a series called All American Girl back in the 90s.
Right.
That only lasted I think half a season. I think it was six episodes.
Yeah, it made a wreck out of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but they are the way ABC is sort of addressing this. I'm not being told that I have to be different. Like, it is all off my personality. Mm-hmm. They've been nothing but receptive to my ideas. No, there's been very little pushback as far as when we get to the network, right? Because it goes through my writing partner and I start, my producer at Tapestry, they give us some feedback. And then mm-hmm. ABC Studios, we have two executives there who mm-hmm. then go over the plot development. They give their feedback and then it goes to network. And then in the notes, my writing partner said these are the best notes she's ever gotten, the most positive response she's gotten process. So it's very it's empowering in a weird way, because it's like the 20 years of stand-up comedy, the vision that I had it's sort of bizarre. I mean, I always believed in it, but you know, you get older, you get farther down the road, you spend 8 years having these meetings and telling people what you really believe, and having people who do believe in me. Kevin Cleary and I have worked on this for a long time.
That's what I wanted to ask you. How did this come about?
So in 2008, there was a guy who had produced a show called Family Forensics. His name is Glenn Marici. Mm-hmm. And he had seen me open for Richard Lewis, of all people. Mm-hmm. Right. And he really thought, and he had like sort of, he'd seen me open in Vernon Hills years before that, even before 2008. Mm-hmm. And he had sort of tucked me away as a sort of a possibility for a future project. So the show he had produced called Family Forensics lasted only a little while on A&E in America.
Okay.
Yes.
How did he happen to see you in Vernon Hills?
He went to go see Richard Lewis.
Oh, he went to see Richard
Lewis.
Yeah,
he went to Zany's. Yeah, he was at Zany's and saw me opening for him.
But I mean, like, was he in town? Did he come to
Chicago? No, he was a producer from here. He's a marketing guy in Chicago.
Got you. Okay.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
He works here. And so he got my phone number. I think actually it might have even been from Steve Cochran at WGN. Mm-hmm. Gave him my number. I'll never forget. It was a field trip. Griffin was on a field trip, like all the way out in the boondocks. And the reason I remember is because like one girl got sick on the bus and threw up three times behind us. Mm-hmm. And while we were out at this big pumpkin patch, I had my cell phone, you know, and I'm supposed to be one of the chaperones, but I'm like taking this phone call because we take phone calls. We're like, you never want to miss a gig.
Right.
We always answer the phone.
Right.
So this guy was telling me he was interested in flying me to Los Angeles and pitching a show. Now, he had created an idea that he thought would work, and he created like the pitch for it that I thought was okay. It wasn't me. It was sort of like, you know, Mexican-Irish comic who meets a British expat. He's from England. Mm-hmm. He's come here and he wants to get involved in Chicago politics. It was called Mixed Messages was the original pilot that we pitched for a while. And, you know, people were nice enough. We met with a lot of great producers. We actually met with Fortis, which is Sandra Bullock's company.
Okay.
We met with them about the time George Lopez was canceled. Mm-hmm. We met with a lot of different production companies, and they, you know, just sort of, yeah, very nice to meet you, we'll let you know, and never heard back from anybody.
Right.
And then in 2010, he would fly me out there. He would take care of all my expenses. It was very cool.
Okay.
In 2010, we met with a company called Content House. And one of the producers with them is Kevin Cleary. And he immediately became enamored with my story, thought I was interesting and compelling, asked me to start writing what I thought my pilot should be. And I did. Mm-hmm. And that's actually now where we've kind of evolved from. But so Kevin left his company to start the company that we have, which is Pooka Productions. Had a lot of connections in Hollywood. We started writing a lot of, we have about 8 different scripts that we've created in the last several years. Mm-hmm. But what happened in the last 2 or 3 years, first I had the series on the Oprah Winfrey Network, My Life is a Joke, or My Joke is a Life. Both of those. Actually, that's a better title. My Joke is a Life. Wait a minute.
Right.
Why didn't I have any control over that? And then I actually shot a daytime pilot for ABC Television, a talk show with Tisha Campbell-Martin and Nicole Sullivan.
They were the producers?
No, they were the co-hosts. We were
kind of like The View kind of mm-hmm. type?
The View meets Ellen. It was going to just be fun stuff. No arguing and yelling. It was going to be all sort of light. Yeah, we had like, our pilot episode was Guilty Pleasures. So we had a snapshot of our DVR, like what we record on DVR.
Mm-hmm.
And mine was like, you know, Castle. Craig, I know, it's surprising. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Ghost Shark. Okay. And basically tease each other about our silly, you know, our silly TV shows. So I shot that. So I was already in the ABC sort of,
right,
you know, on their radar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this year, as it turns out, Craig and I have been doing this overnight show from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. You know, to some people's dismay, to many, as it turns out, pleasure. Mm-hmm. Because when we started this show last year, the ratings were a little bit lower. And in the year that Craig and I have been doing this show, we have become the number one 11 p.m. at 2 a.m. show.
Oh,
and we reached 38 states and Canada. We have we have a broad range of topics.
Shout out to North Dakota.
Exactly. And, you know, the way we sort of framed it was I do 5 nights, 3 hours a night of mm-hmm. radio, a lot of different topics. We talk about everything. I can't really keep my mouth shut about anything. Mm-hmm. I will say anything and everything, whether it's, again, to some people's dismay, potty humor, because mm-hmm. I have the brain of a 12-year-old boy. But I also have the passion of a mom who has a child with special needs. Mm-hmm. So I will go down to Springfield and I will challenge the governor to change things and do the right thing. So everything there from one end to the other end. And that was kind of what caught their attention. And we created a TV series on that.
All right. That's great, Patty.
So that was ABC bought that. We actually had 3 studios that were interested, and ABC was the one that we went with.
Okay, good. And mm-hmm. and as long as you have a deal where you don't have to pay them back any money.
Mm-hmm. What is that about?
Well,
can you read my contract for me?
No. I'm just saying.
No.
I had an offer from them one time years ago. It was a development deal, but the thing was it was $80,000. We'll give you this money, but if you don't develop a show, you got to give it back to us. Well, won't be signing with you.
What? You got to give it. I think I've heard those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the checks are weird. Like they don't send you stuff in one lump sum. They just keep sending checks.
Yeah, I think I was getting them. I don't know if it was core. I don't know what it was.
I'm getting them every 3 days.
What? Oh, really?
There might be an error in accounting, Patty.
Right.
You got to send another check out to Patty Vasquez. She's
I'm like, check all the magazines, make sure there isn't another check. It's very surreal. I'm not guaranteed to star in my own show,
yeah.
But that's kind of the my goal is to make sure that it's, you know, it's very much in the Ray Romano, Roseanne, Seinfeld tradition.
Okay.
But, you know, there's also Home Improvement. Somebody texted earlier and asked if I had seen Last Man Standing, which is ABC's Friday night show with Tim Allen. Mm-hmm. So Tim apparently doesn't get to have his name in any titles, but I think he's doing all right.
He's doing great.
We'll take any of that. There are several projects under development right now that are I'm kind of competing with. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Head out there tomorrow. All right. Well, thank you for asking, Dwayne. Why are you interviewing me? That was a long story. I could have told you that after the show.
Well, you know. What the heck? Yeah, but they wouldn't have known it in North Dakota.
They would not have known that in North Dakota. No, listeners. And then to get back to the original reason I was addressing it, some of the texts asking if I was leaving WGN, I am not. I have always worked this out with WGN and with ABC that these are both my life. I enjoy, you know, developing a show about my family and doing this show on WGN. So right. It's pretty late. Let's get going. More after this on 720 WGN.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go-si-do. No, we didn't get to it.
No, not all the way. The elevator's got to stop on the first floor. Don't go to the basement. Oh, man. I want to see. You know what we need? We're going to need people to send us video of them dancing to What We Meant to Get To. That's what we needed. Just a collection of videos from our listeners. Are you all right, Dwayne? All right, Roger?
Yeah, it started my New Year's resolution. I got to start exercising. Right. That was about it for the week.
That was it. And you were chair dancing.
There I love chair dancing. I got a good bounce on this
you
chair
do,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, get your bounce on.
Yeah.
Dwayne was asking me before the break about how I got here, but Dwayne, you're one of the people that helped me get here. As much as you may think, that one day we were at the back of Zany's near the ice machine, and I asked you if you would ever consider, this is about 12 years ago, I felt stuck in my material. I just felt like there was more I could do and I wasn't pushing past that. And I asked if you would ever consider writing material for me. Because some comics, I still, you were the only person I ever asked to write material for me. I just thought you might have some insight because you'd seen me enough. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was like sitting down and collaborating, going with what I already had, expanding on things. But I just wanted to know if you would help me write. And you said no.
I did?
No, but not only did you say no, you said no, but I will tell you this. You said when you do a joke, you keep apologizing. Stop apologizing. You said you say I'm sorry. He goes, either say it or don't say it, but don't say you're sorry. It weakens the material. And I have always remembered that. I have fallen back into that habit once in a while, and I remember what you said, and I step back and I stop doing it.
Oh man.
Yeah, so you did.
I was helpful.
Yes, you were. You said you said say it, stand behind it, or don't say it at all.
Yeah.
Don't do the joke.
Take hey, that to the bank.
Yeah, I have.
Real quick, a story we didn't get to. A trend that is sweeping Instagram and Twitter, I guess, is called it's like manscaping, only with a specific part of your body and you put it above the picture. It's called nutscaping.
No,
I've seen that.
You take a scenic photo.
Yes, yes.
And apparently, at the very top, you include part of your male anatomy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've seen that. And you can do it either from above it, or you can do it from between the legs.
Yep.
so that they're dangling.